with Dr. Keith Suter.
Good afternoon, Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Brent.
Today I wanted to talk to you, obviously I haven't had a chance to talk to you in a long time, but how the world has changed in those 8-9 weeks.
Incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. The highest ranking military officer in the United States said this week that he expects the conflict in Ukraine to last years. When you read this report, were you surprised he actually said this? Because I thought this conflict would be over within months, maybe.
Or even weeks, I was very surprised. But you've got to bear in mind that it has been running on for 8 years. So it's already into its eighth year, because it was in 2014 that the Russians invaded Crimea and we got the violence in the eastern part of the mainland of Ukraine. So already it's gone on for 8 years. But I think what the general was predicting is that it'll drag on and on. In fact, I've noticed Ukrainians at the moment are now talking about a new World War II, in a sense, particularly now affecting the eastern part of the country. But what is interesting, I think, is that the Americans have been consistently right about the invasion, and commentators like myself have been consistently wrong.
Right.
You know, we all thought that Putin wouldn't be stupid enough to carry through on the invasion of Ukraine. But remember, Biden was predicting that he would invade, and you know, we were all saying, oh, Biden's just being alarmist, he's just trying to scare people, but he was spot on. So clearly the Americans have got very good insights into the state of play regarding the Russian forces, and I think that General Milley is in effect saying, well, you've got a country of 140 million versus 40 million, so the Russians would normally expect to win, but they've got very low morale. And as you may have seen in the last couple of hours, there's been an admission by a spokesperson at the Kremlin who said that they have suffered significant losses of troops, and it's a huge tragedy for us. It's even worse tragedy for Ukraine, of course. But it's interesting that even the Russians are coming clean about the extent of their losses. And the Russians were equipped for a short, sharp campaign, which is what a lot of us were predicting. So they ran out of food quite early. They ran out of fuel quite early. We had pictures of Russian soldiers raiding villages to try to steal the eggs from the chickens. You know, they're almost going back to foraging as a form of trying to survive on the land. And so the Russians really have badly miscalculated. And of course, they've now pulled away from Kiev over in the northern part of the country, the western part of the country. And it looks as though they're going to concentrate around the area which they took over 8 years ago. President Zelensky of Ukraine has said that the Russians have got to move out of all of Ukraine. He will not allow the Russians to remain hogging that eastern part, such as Luhansk, etc. And so so I think General Milley may have something when he says it could still drag on for a few more years. Yeah, very worrying.
There's been a lot of talk about Putin being charged with war crimes. Can you see this ever happening?
No, not really. But it's nothing's impossible. I've got to keep saying that to myself now.
Right.
I never thought I'd be giving a lecture, as I'm doing at the moment, on a war in Europe again. So I never thought I'd be in the situation that I am at the moment, talk about a war, major war in Europe. So anything at the moment is possible. In the case of Putin, it would actually work well for coup plotters if they were to remove him and send him to The Hague, bearing in mind the Russians don't recognize the International Criminal Court, and the Americans don't either, by the way, or China. But if they were to send Putin there, it would mean that the International Criminal Court would receive the anger of the pro-Putin supporters rather than any new government that's established in Moscow. The problem is I can't now envisage anybody who's anti-Putin still being in a position to mount a coup against him.
Right. That is the problem, isn't it? Because my next question was going to be, can you see Putin being overthrown?
Well, he may be, but there's no guarantee that whoever his replacement is now, whoever's been left standing in Russia, would be any easier to deal with. The obvious thing would be simply to shoot Putin or poison him. The Russians seem to prefer poison. The problem for Russia is an even bigger question now, that Russia has, in a sense, through its brutality in Ukraine, revived all the old memories, a lot of us who know European history, revived all the old memories of Russian barbarity and brutality, going all the way back to Ivan the Terrible. So, you know, we're talking about centuries ago. And so perhaps there is really some violent streak in the Russian personality, and that Putin has unleashed that again in much the same way that we saw it under Stalin or Ivan the Terrible, etc. Irrespective of political ideology, it's part of this Russian character. And the problem is that Russia is paranoid. It's worried about the invasion that could come. And one of the reasons why the country could be invaded is because it's, generally speaking, fairly flat. And so you've got these wide open spaces, be it people coming out of Mongolia, the Golden Horde, as we saw 800 years ago, or more recently, the French and the Germans coming in from the western side of Moscow. And so that adds this Russian paranoia. That's why the Russians have been paranoid about the eastern expansion of NATO. And it's revived all their old fears about invasion. I don't think NATO is ever going to invade Russia, but you can't talk somebody who's paranoid. You can't talk them out of their paranoia. And that's the problem that we've got. You know, we've got an old-fashioned mentality in Russia, and I don't see it ending very quickly. And I think that to be a Russian in many countries, particularly in the Western world, will really be just be a term of abuse. My feeling is that in Australia we could just ban Russian tourists, Russian students, for example, as well as Russian banks.
Russia has become just the second country to be suspended from the United Nations human rights body. That's happened in the last 48 hours. Is this just tokenism?
Well, it was crazy to have them there. The move, the President Zelensky said they should be removed from the UN Security Council. You can't do that because they're actually specifically mentioned in the UN Charter, and you have to amend the UN Charter. You couldn't get them off the UN Security Council. But what you can do is to start expelling them from UN bodies. And they're starting with the Human Rights Council because that's an obvious place. The Council deals with these mass violations of human rights, and we've got evidence of the Russians carrying them out. I think eventually we might see them being pushed out of, you know, World Health Organization, trading organizations, all that sort of thing. They'll be gradually excluded from international diplomacy, and they'll become a new North Korea. North Korea has isolated itself from the rest of the world. I think in this case, we will have the rest of the world isolating Russia and just not wanting to have anything to do with it. Now, in Australia's case, we have fairly limited contact with the Russians. But in the case of Britain, which is the center of money laundering for the Russian oligarchs, the London Laundromat, as it's called, because of all of the money laundering they're doing, the British now are actually starting to turn against the Russians. So previous governments, although they've got good legislation, the governments have never implemented it because of pressure from the lawyers, accountants and real estate agents, all of whom are saying, you know, we need Russian money coming into London. I think now, given the barbarity that we've seen in Ukraine, even the British and the Swiss, I've got to say, suddenly the Swiss have got a conscience as well. And we're seeing that, you know, a lot of Russians are simply not going to be welcome overseas. They're going to be stranded in their own country.
I've got to leave it there. It's always a delight to chat with you. Thank you for your time. No doubt we'll talk again very soon about this, as it will obviously not be something that is over in a matter of weeks or even months.
No, it could be with us for a while.
Thanks Dr. Rick. Keith Suter. Okay, bye-bye. That's Dr. Keith Suter from Global Directions. Terrible situation. I wanted to ask him about the role or the lack of the role that the United States seems to not be playing in this conflict. Maybe we can ask him that next time we talk.